It seems as though our speakers have the theme regarding the great prize that is set before the church. And the title of his discourse will be, Attain the Great Pearl. Attain the Great Pearl. Brother Bill.
I'd like to thank you, Brother Tony, for introduction. This is turning out to be a memorial weekend for me because I was here yesterday to participate in the discussions yesterday afternoon. We had wonderful fellowship last night, and it was starting to get late and we didn't realize it. And looking forward again to today's wonderful fellowship and message that we have. I first of all like to give the love and greetings from the friends in Hampton, New Hampshire. Some are here, some couldn't. Those that couldn't, they wished for me to purvey their love to everyone here. My subject today is Attaining the Great Pearl. Matthew, the 13th chapter, in the 45th to 46th verse, we read, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." We are like this merchantman who is seeking goodly pearls, and who, when he found one pearl of great price, sold all that he had and bought that pearl. And what is that pearl? The kingdom of heaven, the messianic kingdom, with its glory and honor, and with its privileges in connection with the world's uplift to human perfection, constitutes this great prize. Never before in this age was this prize possible, and the opportunity to attain it will end with this age. We have this opportunity now, and we have this opportunity to partake only at this time. There will not be any future. Everybody is seeking something in life. Everybody has before their minds some object or aim to attain. They expend their energies. Some are seeking the pearl of financial wealth. Some seek a fine house. Others seek to have influence. There are others who bend every effort to become a famous musician or a great singer or maybe become a great athlete. A man or a woman may have a pearl of a cozy home with a kind spouse and little children. It is human nature to have a goal. A child from birth, when they're first born, they right away automatically has a goal. When a child is first born, his first effort, his first goal is to learn to talk, to communicate. Mommy, daddy, give me. And then afterwards, his goal is to walk. Don't have to ask mommy and daddy to give me. All I have to do is walk from here to over there and I may be able to get it. But he has a goal. And then as a child grows older, the goals he seeks continue on. He may see a fire truck. Wonderful. I'm going to be a fireman. Or he sees a police cruiser. I'm going to be a policeman. Or he sees an airplane flying in the sky and he says, well, I'm going to be a pilot and to fly. He has a goal that is within every human being. I remember one child, he saw a garbage truck and he was watching that compactor in the back, pushing everything in the back, and he was very fascinated. He wants to be a garbage man. He has the goal. And then as the child grows older, or if it's a girl, he sees a nurse in a white uniform, they want to be a nurse. Any human will be seeking. Then as a child grows older and gets through these stages, what is his next goal? Is to be 16. Why? So I can get behind the wheel of that car and drive it. That is his next goal. I was just watching television the other morning. He was a 10-year-old child. He just graduated from college in Georgia. And he says, well, my goal was to get a car from my parents, but I'm too young. And he says, I have to wait till I'm 16. He has his goal is to wait till he's 16 so he can drive a car. And then they get to that goal. What's their next goal? Well, could be to graduate from high school. But then the next goal is to be when they're 21. Why? Because that's the legal age. They're recognized as adults. They want to develop. And they keep these goals before them. After 21, then you develop into marriage. And then marriage, you look to children. And your goals never do stop because you look to the children and you look for your children's children. These are wonderful goals. These are wonderful achievements. But we know that these achievements and goals are only temporary. And they're only temporary satisfactions. After a while, you do attain these goals, and psalmist says, vanity of vanities, all is vanities. It's only temporary. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 21st, 5th verse, we read, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a temporary crown. They strive, and they strive very hard to obtain their great pearl, or their great prize, or their great goal. They have, and they sit and they think, well, what do I have to do to obtain this? And what do I have to sacrifice to give this up? The athlete knows that, well, I have to train every day, so many hours a day, so they work their schedule out. We know that the ice skaters, the first thing they do, they get up early in the morning, go practice skating, then go to school during the day, then come back, and then go back to skating again. They're working continually to obtain this prize, but it is only temporary. And the pearl of great prize that is presented to us far surpasses any other pearls in value. Whoever possesses this pearl will receive, as we continue in 1 Corinthians, but they receive an incorruptible crown, but they receive a corruptible crown, but we receive an incorruptible crown. We see that God has made a wonderful offer to those who make a consecration to follow in the footsteps of the Redeemer. For those, God has offered great glory, great high honor, and a change of nature. As Brother Bob was talking, we have to be born again. We receive a change of nature. Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, in the 4th verse, we read, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We see Peter's looking for words to describe this great prize. He says all he can come up with, exceedingly great. Can we come up with anything better to describe this great prize? No. He just uses in a simple language, exceedingly great, and it is precious. And we receive, and what is this prize? Divine nature. And whoever gets this prize, or this pearl, will have the privilege of being associated with our Lord in the work of helping the world out of ignorance, superstition, and sin for 1,000 years. But only for 1,000 years? Think about it. Divine nature. It is immortal. As we read in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 4th verse, the 7th. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loveth us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. It isn't only for 1,000 years. What's he say? The ages to come. It isn't a short time. It is forever. And when a person sets his goal, they sit down and they count the cost. What do they have to do to gain that prize? Some would say, well, how much schooling do I need? Well, I've got to take so many years of this, and then I've got to transfer and take so many years of different courses. They look to see how much money would cost. Or they look to see how much do I have the time to do it, or how long is it going to take? We see through the merchant man, he was seeking a great prize, and he saw them. And what do we do to secure this pearl? The merchant man sold all he had, so much, so must we. But there is no set price, because it states there is no difference. Whether we have much or little, we must give our all. We must yield ourselves wholly and unreservedly to God. Because as the merchant says, it only says he gave his all. Not how much or how great or how little. It's to give his all. And this is instructions we have also from Apostle Paul. In Romans, the 12th chapter and the 1st verse, we read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And these are the conditions for obtaining this pearl. Whoever accepts this offer, which God has made, must enter into a covenant of sacrifice with God. As we read in Psalms, the 50th chapter and the 5th verse, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Who is God gathering together with him? It is those that have made that covenant of sacrifice. As Apostle Paul says, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is our covenant, to present ourselves. We're not presenting $1,000 or two or monetary manners. We are to present ourselves. And in presenting ourselves, we are to bring forth fruit unto God, as in Romans, the 7th chapter and the 4th verse. In James, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, we read, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. This is the fruit. We are to develop fruit. And the husbandman is waiting to gather this fruit as it is being developed. As Bob says this morning, We are embryos. We are new creatures to be born. And we have to put on this new mind. And to put on this new mind, we develop the fruits of the Spirit. As we read in Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And we cultivate these different fruits of the Spirit to grow. Grow as new creatures and to develop our minds. We see that the first of these fruits is love. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 13th verse, we read, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Yes, out of faith and hope, they soon will pass away and love will remain. But love is the greatest of these developments of the fruit. As we read in Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse, put on love, which is the bond of perfectionness. This is the bond that holds all these different developments together, the different fruits, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, and the goodness, and the patience, and the meekness. They are held together through love. As we read in the 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in the 4th to 7th verse, love suffereth long. This is the bond of love, that it has, with love, you develop patience. Patience of what? You name it. It could be weakness and imperfections of our brethren in the truth. It could be our brothers and sisters in the flesh, or our spouse, or our children. Many have trials. It may be physical. It may be money. It may be jobs. There are many different things. That can bother a person. As Brother Bob said this morning, it could be a brethren in the truth that it's bothering. We have many different sources of trials and the trial of our patience. But we should have, as Apostle Paul writes in Romans, the 8th chapter and 18th verse, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, we have trials, and we have this temptation with our patience, but we should, as Apostle Paul says, realize that this is only for a short time, and it does not compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. Also, a brother should have, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse, there hath no temptation taken you but such as are common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He doesn't say it's going to be easy, the trial of our patience, the trials that we partake of, but it tells us we have to have faith and to develop in our faith and realize that God will not tempt us above what we can bear, and we should take this as a daily effort because we know. And it is a trial of our faith. But we should realize that God will not put us above what we are able to bear. And if it looks impossible to us, we should bear these words in mind. Well, God has let me do this, then He's allowing me this to happen, then we'll be able to bear it. Also in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the 10th verse. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't receive this grace of God in vain, and think that it is of little value. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the minister of God, in patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfringed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor and yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. We work together to obtain this goal. And we, and the Apostle Paul beseeches us not to receive this grace in vain, and to set ourselves as good examples to mankind. When we set ourselves as good examples to the neighbors, to your fellow workers, just showing a good life, you are ministering. And if you do anything disgraceful, and they know that you are a good character, and they see something wrong right away, they're going to blame you, and that would be blaming your ministry. And we do this with patience and in stripes and in all these different things. And we do this by the Holy Spirit. It could be common everyday things that we share. We share long-suffering. We share reproach by our fellow workers. How many of us, we've all worked probably in factories, and Monday morning when you go report to work and you meet your fellow workers, they say, well, what did you do over the weekend? Well, if I was going in Monday morning, I'd say, well, Saturday I was in Waterbury and I had fellowship with friends on religious convention, and Sunday I spent all day in religious conventions. Well, they'll scratch their heads and say, well, didn't you go here, or didn't you go there, or didn't you do this, or didn't you do that? And they say, what a boring life you had. They don't know what a great joy it is to come and meet with friends of like precious faith. That is a great joy. That is a celebration. But they don't see it that way. And sometimes a person should not feel ashamed to say, yes, I did this. And no, I didn't do this. No, I didn't go there, or I didn't go there, or I didn't do this. But we rejoice always in the Lord. Also, as we continue, that love is kind. Tells us to be kind in our methods and our understandings, especially to the brethren in Christ. As Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 32nd verse, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Sometimes it may be hard, but we forgive Not because we told, but we forgive with our hearts. We truly and honestly forgive. And we have tender heartedness. We have understanding. Because sometimes I may offend a brother unknowingly. And that brother, I hope that brother would have the kindness and understanding. What is my true feelings? And we should have that same understanding also. And as in Galatians 6, chapter 10th verse, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. It isn't only to your brethren, but you do good to all men, to your neighbor. I'm sure everyone's had, during our lifetime, have troubles with the neighbor next door or the neighbor across the street. But we do good unto them, and we do kindness with every opportunity we have. Don't wait the knock of opportunity to come to you. You look for that knock of opportunity. And as he continues, especially to them who are the household of faith. Also in Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And what a wonderful example he has given us. As Christ has forgiven us, we are to forgive also. Who are we that Christ has given us this glorious opportunity to be sons of God, to be his brother and to share the glories that he will have in the future? We are sinners. We were nothing. And yet, he came and forgave us. And not only forgave us, but he presented this great prize to us. What a gift of love he has shown. Also, we continue, love envieth not. Love has generosity. If we see someone with an object, boy, I wish I had that. Whether it be a car or a house or whatever. Do we rejoice with him or do we say we wish? No. As Apostle Paul says in Romans the 12th chapter, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that do weep. We do not envy. We rejoice when we see the brother rejoice no matter what. He went to a don't have to be a material thing. He went to a convention. He come back and he was showing his joy of being there. Don't feel sorry that you weren't able to go to that convention with him. I know last year, many of the friends had the opportunity to go to Israel. I was sorry I couldn't go, but I didn't have the envy in my heart all and wished them sorrow. No, I rejoiced with them. And when they came back, I rejoiced with them because of the great joy that they had received and the great blessings they had received. We should not envy anyone. And love, as we continue, love vaunteth not itself up, is not puffed up. Here we see that love develops humility. As in Apostle Peter in the fifth chapter in the fifth verse, yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Be subject one to another. Do not put yourself, well, I am the elder of the class, and I am higher than you. No. You are the servant of the class, and you serve the members of the class. Or if you feel that you have the gift to express yourself eloquently, do not feel that I am higher than him because he can't explain himself right. No, you keep yourself humble so that God can exalt you when? In due time. When is that due time? It's going to be his time. We do not know when each will be exalted. In Romans, the 12th chapter, 16th verse, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Do not say, well, it could be anything. He's got the education, he's got the home, he's got this possession and that possession, and he has these different gifts of eloquence. That individual should not be of, should have a humble and not to mind the high things, but look to the low things. And if a person cannot understand eloquent English, give it to them in understandable English so that the individuals can understand. Condescend to the man of low estate. These things all work together. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love is courtesy. We should watch our conduct to one another and not to think ourselves as more intellectually financial, but have courtesy and express love on the little things, a kind greeting, a pleasant smile, little acts that bring joy to the individual's hearts. You're showing humbleness, you're showing humility, and you're not showing and not vaunting themselves up. And we are doing as Apostle Paul says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 24th verse, let us consider us one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. We see an individual, we provoke him to bring forth fruits, his fruits of the Spirit, to provoke him to come up with good works. Also, love seeketh not her own. Love is unselfish. Love does not take advantage or to promote his own interest. But he would go out and should seek to help the others. The person that's seeking not his own would not be looking for attentions and say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've gone here and I've gone there, and do it with pride. Yes, he can talk, I've been here, I've been there, but not to expect and look for the individual that is listening to him to say and look in awe, wow. The individual should do it with humbleness and should show his true spirit to provoke the individual to uplift him. And as in Apostle Paul in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do not look for the different goals of the world, but be content with what you have. Yes, we strive, as Brother Paul says, Bob, how can a person be content and still strive? But we do, and we are content with what we have, because we have God on our side. He says, He will never leave us. We have to keep our faith. And if we have this love, we keep our faith and realize that God truly is with us. And that is how we can continue to stand firm in the faith when we see that the different trials, sometimes we feel, well, this is getting to be too much that I can bear. We should be content and realize that God is still on our side. Continues that love is not easily provoked. In other words, he has a good temper. He doesn't show signs of touchiness or fretfulness. He doesn't show signs of being quick to take offense, or he shows signs of nervousness or fault-finding. As I stated before, this all works content together, to be content and to have patience. They all work together in love, because if we did not have love, we could not have this good temper, and we'd be showing signs of touchiness. Well, I can't wait for that individual to stop what he's doing, or I'm getting nervous the way he acts, or I take offense by him, or I can't stand that physical, because I'm always finding fault with him. But it's Apostle Paul in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and 14th verse. Follow peace with all men, not only your brethren in Christ, but your fellow workers, your neighbors. Follow peace with all men. Also, love thinketh no evil. Love, a person with true love, would not surmise evil or interpret the action of someone and say, well, I'm wondering what he really means by that. We've got to accept what the individual says. Accept the individual and accept his sincerity of motive. And accept it with charitable. As we read in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and that 18th verse. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to say, yes, I love you, or I love everyone. But you have to do it in deed and in truth. Jesus says, by your works you show your faith. We do it by our works, not by words, but by our acts. And we have a sincerity of motive. Also we read, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. There is many things we see in the world today, the evil, and we do not rejoice. There is many, they say, hold, and they rejoice in that. But we rejoice in the truth. We have sincerity of heart. In Philippians, we read, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We have sincerity of heart to keep our faith and our love. And if we have this sincerity of heart, then we will rejoice in everything we hear. Also, love beareth all things. Beareth all things, we endure all things. And we should realize we endure the insults, we endure the misrepresentations that we have, and we realize that these, our endurance is necessary only for a short time. As in 1 Peter, the first chapter in the sixth, the power of God and salvation every time. Prayer endures, though not for a season. In this manifold temptation. We're kept by the power of God through faith. As I stated before, we have to be strong in the faith to resist all that has come to us. And we realize it won't be revealed now, but it will be revealed in the last time. And we greatly rejoice, precious promise that we have before us. As Apostle Peter says, great and exceedingly great and precious promises we have. We rejoice in that. But now, while we're here, we sorrow for a short season. And we have heaviness of heart and manifold temptations. Could be physical temptations. We see another brother suffer, and it does truly hurt. But it is only temporary and for a season. We have to have this great hope set before us. We hope all things, and we have to keep this reached. When we see things happen, we have many discouragements. Even the truth movement has many discouragements, starting back to 1914. And there has been many different things, events happening since then. But the brethren in the truth, what is this hope? We're waiting still for the kingdom to come on earth. And we have to have continue in love and continuing in hope. And the brother is not discouraged and persevere because this great prize is before us and still we do not see it. And we still carry, as is written in Colossians, the first chapter, the 27th verse, Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I stated before, Christ is beside us, and he will never fail us. He is in us, and this is our hope of glory. And we realize that love never faileth. This bond that we have before us, it will not fail if we develop love. And to fulfill this love and fulfill the fruits of the Spirit that was written in Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, we look to Apostle Peter in 2 Peter, the 1st chapter and the 4th to 11th verse. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As we stated before, these are given unto us. We didn't earn them. Can anyone here claim, state, yes, I did earn this precious prize, this precious gift? No. It was given unto us by the grace of God and through His Son. And to obtain this, Apostle Peter writes, and besides this, giving all diligence, everything that you have, as Apostle Peter says, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to give everything we have. The merchant man, when he saw this prize, he sold all that he had. We are to give all that we have, and we do it with diligence, not just once a week or once a day, but it is day by day, year by year. And with diligence, we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And he continues, for if these be in you and abound, if they, these fruits of the Spirit, if they be in you, can't be a little bit or just a little showing. They have to abound. They have to be plentiful. And they make you that you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. This is how we gain the knowledge of the Lord, by developing these fruits of the Spirit. And if they abound in us, we gain in the knowledge of the Lord. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Do what things? The development of the fruits of the Spirit. The development of this new mind. Because we are a new creature. We are to be born again. And as Brother Bob says, it is a reverse development than the natural. Natural is born, the flesh is born, then the mind is developed. The new creature, the mind is developed, and then it is given the body. Completely reverse. And this new mind, this new creature, we are developed. How? By developing these fruits of the Spirit. First, the bond is love. And then all these follow under it. Person develops love, he develops his patience. He develops his virtue. He develops his temperance. He develops his kindness. And if these develop in you, it continues, for an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The world has St. Peter sitting at the gate. And if you do good, if you do evil. I think this is one of the things that they look to St. Peter when he writes, that he'd be ministered to the gates and he would receive the keys to the kingdom. But at developing these fruits of the Spirit, it won't be a narrow way. There will be a big welcome, as Apostle Peter says. An entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly. Abundantly where? Into his everlasting kingdom. For a short time? No. It is everlasting for ages to come and ages and ages. Our minds cannot comprehend no end or no beginning. It just stops. Where's an end? We always feel there has to be an end. But this kingdom is everlasting. And it is with who? The two persons that we love the most in the world. God and his Son Jesus. We shall be like him, as it is written. We do not know how we shall appear or what body we shall have. But we know this. We shall see him as he is, because we shall be like him. We shall have his body, the divine nature, and great and precious promises we have, and great is this pearl that is given to us. And may the Lord add his blessing.
Brother Bill, indeed it's been a pleasure all these years to know Bill and know his faithfulness to the truth. And it's a joy that he has this humble spirit and it makes you feel good to realize here's a brother that's all these years has worked faithfully. I know whenever I say an older brother, I get in trouble. I remember that happened to me once. But I'm sure that they realize, that Bill realizes what I mean, and the wonderful standard that he has followed, that the Lord has given. And we appreciate his character. We appreciate his love for the brethren throughout all these years.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we again approach thy throne of grace, thanking thee for this blessed privilege we've had to gather here this day and to meet in fellowship in thy most precious name. We thank thee for the wonderful words we have received this morning. We ask that everything we heard we put on our hearts and minds to bring forth fruit to the glory of thy name. Also, dear Father, ask thy blessing on the meal that thou hast provided for us this new time. May strengthen us, may serve thee more. And we ask thy continuous guide protection over us made of this day. All his favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.